Please open your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to direct your attention to one verse, verse 10. This is how the Word of God does read. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I want to use this verse this morning to actually preach on a topical sermon. And it's simply going to be titled, "Can You Hear Me?" Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we are grateful and thankful for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us, that we can gather in this place to study, to show ourselves approved unto Thee. Now, Father, we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit and our illumine the mind of this man, that indeed he will speak to thy people as an oracle of God. Father, may thou now bless the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Drop calls are always annoying. Here you are talking on your cell phone, but unbeknownst to you, the call had cut off. Yet you kept talking. Then you asked a question, and nobody responded on the other line. And when you look at your answer, you discover that you were talking into nothingness because there was nobody on the other line. The call had dropped. Or perhaps you continue to talk until the person on the other line actually calls you back. Then you realized that the call had dropped. You know, loved ones, it goes without saying that reception is critical when we are communicating over the telephone line. One needs to be able to hear and be heard by the other person or persons on the other line. But just as reception is critical in physical communication, it is also important when it comes to spiritual communication, which happens when we pray. You know, one thing that is obvious throughout the pages of Scripture is that God invites us, his people, to communicate with him. The Lord Jesus, in a parable in Luke chapter 18, encourages us. He said, "Men are to pray and not to faint." The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, exhorted the Christians to pray without ceasing. But you know, it is one thing to pray, making our request and petition known to the Lord. It is another thing to actually hear back from God. You know, this is where the issue of reception comes in. And if we are all to be honest, hearing from God is always a struggle. It's always a struggle to understand and discern what God is saying to us and how he's leading us or what he wants us to do. But you know what? Unlike physical communication, where we have the luxury of changing cell phones provider if we don't like the reception, spiritually we don't have that luxury. So when it comes back to hearing from God, it's something that we all got to find a way to walk through. And this morning, I want us to meditate on these two important questions. You know, how can I hear from God in a world that is crowded with noise? And perhaps more importantly, when I believe I've heard from God, how do I know that what I've heard is not presumptuous? This is my quest this morning. And I want to actually title this, "The Quest to Understand the Dynamics of Spiritual Reception." How can we hear from God in a world of competing and often conflicting voices? And how do we know that what we heard is not presumptuous? This morning, loved ones, that is what I want to endeavor to explore. Now, as a preamble, I think it's important that we are reminded of one fundamental attribute of God. And that is this. God is not incommunicado. One thing the scripture is dogmatic about is that God is a relational God. And it's fundamental in any relationship that communication takes place. As such, God can both hear and speak. Psalm 94 verse 9 reads, "Does the one who makes the human ear not hear? Does the one who forms the human eye not see?" Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, we read, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heirs of all things, through whom he also made the world." So it is obvious that God can both hear and he can speak. So with that understanding, the problem of reception, loved ones, is never with God. The problem with hearing is always with us. In essence, God does speak. The question is that, are we hearing? Are we able to discern what God is saying? So this brings me to my first question. How then do I hear from God? How do I discern what God is saying? Now, I'm going to give you three ways which I believe has a scriptural foundation to it. The first thing is this. We hear from God primarily through the scriptures. Again, I want to repeat that this morning. We hear from God primarily through the scriptures. You know, the Bible is just not a collection of stories about ancient people or some doctrinal theses about morality and prophecy. Rather, it is God's communication to his creation. The entire book is inspired by God. As the Apostle Paul will put it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "All scripture is theonomesto, is God breathed." We get the word inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Peter will say, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 22, he said, "But this we know first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." You know, in the pages of scripture, God has not only revealed himself to us as his people, he has also laid out for us everything that pertains to this life. You know, the Bible provides for us those three critical philosophical questions. Where do you come from? Why are you here? And where do you go when you leave this place? And even when you look deep in the Bible, every problem we face can be found in the Bible. The answer, it's embedded in the Word of God. If not directly, it can be found indirectly. As such, when we want to hear from God, again, I think it's important to hear this morning. When you want to hear from God, the first place you go is the Holy Scriptures. It's the Bible. God speaks foundationally and fundamentally in this dispensation through his word. Now, I need to put a caveat here, by the way. You know, when it comes to the Bible, two things we need to be careful about. Number one, don't practice what I call selective understanding. You know, this is when we seek to understand the Bible because we want to glean something out of it. We look at certain scripture to justify our ways. You know, it's misselective. Rather than looking at the Bible as an organic union, and we just pick and choose what we believe applies to us, and we say, well, this is God speaking to me. That to me is selective reading and selective understanding of scripture. And there's a lot of people today who practice such selective understanding of scripture. They only want to read or want to see what they want to see. Number two, this is a caveat here you might have to understand when you want to hear from God from the scripture. Don't play a Russian roulette with the scripture. What do I mean by Russian roulette? Many of us will close our eyes and just open the Bible to one page and say, Lord, speak to me through this page. And whatever page it falls on, you'll believe this is God speaking to you. That is not the way to hear from God from the scriptures. You hear from God from the scripture by being disciplined in your daily devotion, starting seeking to understand what God is saying to you. And God is able to speak to you in any area of the scripture. And you got to make it a constant discipline. That is how you cultivate the discipline of being able to hear when God's speaking. That no matter what you're going through, when you have a disciplined scriptural devotional time, God can use those minutes and those times to speak to you as it relates to what you're going through. That is the first thing this morning I believe we need to know when we want to talk about hearing from God. The second way that God speaks to us is through events and circumstances in our lives. You know, one thing every Christian must know is this. You know, the sovereignty of God negates any claim of accident or coincidence or chance. Again, I need to repeat that. The sovereignty of God negates any claim of accidents, coincidence, and chance in your life. In other words, in God's economy, there are no accidents, no coincidence, no chance in your life. As the Apostle Paul will say very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he said, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Watch that. God causes not some things, but all things to work together. God can speak to you and I through certain events and circumstances of our lives. And we might not, as a matter of fact, we might look at those things and we think, oh, Lord, this is just an accident. But you might want to look at God. See God in those things. God can speak to you. And a perfect example of this can be found in the prophecy of Haggai in the Old Testament. And in Haggai chapter 1, God will now speak through this prophet. Beginning at verse 3, the Lord says to Haggai the prophet, "Is it time for you yourself to dwell in parcel houses while my house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your way. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but you don't have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough for you to be drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. You earn income and wages to put in pocket with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go to the mountain, bring wood, rebuild the house of the Lord. For you look for much, but behold, it came to little. You bring it home, and I blow it away." Why? Declared the Lord, "because my house, which lie desolate, while each of you run to his own house." Did you see what the prophet is saying there? The Lord said, listen, the office that you have, the reason it's little is because I am the one letting you see through those events that you're doing something wrong. He said, listen, you even put money in pockets that got holes in it. What God is trying to say through this prophet is this. That the events and circumstances that is taking place in and around that time, he is orchestrating those events so that they can hear from him. And this is also important for us, because we might say, listen, I don't know what's going on around me. Every time I go to this place, the door is locked. Every time I turn here, God might be saying, this is not the way I wanted to go. Or you might say, Pastor Waller, listen, I'm working double overtime and boom, I'm sick. God God might be telling you it's time for you to slow down. You know, I need to put a caveat here, by the way. You know, it's not every event. Don't get me wrong, everybody here. It's not every event and circumstances that happen in your life that God is trying to say something to you. But always look for God in all that you go through. Always see whether God is saying something to you. Always see whether God is trying to communicate something to you to let you understand that, listen, I am walking something here, or I am pointing you in this direction, or I am leading you in this direction. Now, don't get me wrong. At times, the devil will block your way. And that might be God having to tell you to press on. That might be the case. But at times, God will speak to us in different circumstances of life, calling us to repent or to turn to Him or to go in a different direction. So if you're seeking to hear from God, look around you. God might be speaking to you. The third way I believe God actually speaks to us in this dispensation is that God can speak to us through godly counsel. Now, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, is what I call the word of wisdom. What this essentially means is this, that the Holy Spirit has gifted some Christians with the gift of wisdom. You know, such person can offer invaluable insight through the word of God to speak to whatever you present to them. And seeking their counsel might let you understand what God is trying to tell you. Now, when it comes to seeking godly counsel, you know, at times the reaction varies. Some of us don't seek godly counsel because we feel it's a sign of weakness. But that's always the trick of the enemy, isn't it? Because it's never the trick of the weak. It's not a sign of weakness that you go to somebody and say, you know what, my life is not in the right direction. Could you give me wisdom here to understand what I'm trying to do here? It's not that you're weak. As a matter of fact, you are walking in humility. And I truly believe that shows that you don't know it all. And the reason that you're going to somebody is to seek help so that you might be able to see a different perspective. And especially those who are spiritually mature in the faith. Those who have been tested and tried and they understand God's will. And they understand, they can discern what God is trying to say or what God's trying to do that you might not see. And they are often very valuable tool that it can lead you and let you understand what God is trying to say or where God is trying to lead you. You know, another problem that we have here is that some of us are just too secretive. What I mean by that is that some of us just hush. We don't want nobody to know what's going on in our lives. We don't want nobody to know what's going on in our business. So we keep our mouth short. But when you keep your mouth short and you remain secret about you empower whatever deception the enemy is trying to move through your life. That is why it's important, listen, loved ones, to at times discern what God is trying to say to you, what God is trying to lead, where God's trying to lead you. You must be able to be vulnerable to talk to somebody that can give you wisdom, that can lead you in different ways, that can put some little nuggets of truth in your life so you can understand what God is trying to do. So this morning, loved ones, I believe those three ways are three critical ways that you and I can actually hear from God. Now, as important as the reception is, of greater importance, I believe, is how to ensure that what we've heard is not presumptuous. In other words, if you say you've heard from God, how do you then know that what you've heard is not presumptuous? And may I confess that this question does not lend itself to an easy answer. But we must have to deduce principles that can help us understand how to understand whether what we're hearing is not presumptuous. And this is what I'm going to tell you, loved ones, this morning. You know, of utmost importance, what you have heard or what you believe God is saying to you, of utmost importance, must always square up with the scriptures. Must always square up with the word of God. You know, one fundamental truth about the Bible is that the Bible does not contradict itself. You know, the word of God is not contradictory. God will not speak against his word. God will not tell you to do what will violate his truth or what violates his truth. God will not tell you to go steal. God will not tell you to go commit adultery. God will not tell you to go murder. Why? Because that is God's nature. God will not contradict his nature that is revealed to us in his word. So again, when you want to hear, when you want to measure, the yardstick to measure, am I hearing presumptuously or am I truly, it must square up with scripture. It must square up with the word of God. What God is saying in his word. You know, if you're saying, Pastor Waller, listen, should I leave my husband or stay with my husband? Go to the word of God, live in love once. Go to the word of God. I mean, I don't know what your position is, but go to the word of God. The Bible said it very clearly. Malachi chapter 2 reminds us, God said, I hate divorce. So guess what? Your desire must seek to have a relationship that whatever within your ability to seek reconciliation, you seek reconciliation. What about loving your neighbor? You know, you can say, listen, there's someone that gets so much on my nerve. I'm not going to have nothing to do with him no more. I'm not going to forgive him. Then go to the word of God. You're not hearing from God. That's not what God says in his word. Go to the word of God. When the word of God says to you this, make sure that what you presume that you've heard must square up with the word of God. If it does not, throw those things out. No matter how passionate you might be about those things that you believe you've heard from God, if it violates the word of God, cast it out. That is not God speaking to you. God will never violate his own word. God's word is forever established in heaven. God is faithful to the word he has said and is faithful to the person that he is. And this is one of the key things you need to understand when it comes to discerning whether what I'm hearing is presumptuous or not. The second thing this morning I want you to write down is this. How do I know that what I've heard from God is not presumptuous? You must be willing to wait. You must be willing to wait. You know, I haven't studied the Bible for a little while. I know it's often easy to twist the Bible to our own advantage, especially when it comes to something that we really, really, really want so badly. But for you to make sure that you are not claiming what God is not saying to you, you know, you must have to exercise this discipline of waiting. Why is waiting so important? You know, the purpose of waiting is that in waiting, God tends to make things clearer to you when you wait. Listen to me. God tends to make it clearer to you when you wait. You know, waiting is able to actually reveal the true nature of some things that you don't see because in your haste, you rush into it because you presume, I've heard from God, this is what I'm going to do. And in your haste, you head into it and you fail. But what waiting does, waiting helps you to understand. This is what God is saying to me. This is what God is leading me to. This is how God wants me to go. Even in relationships, especially for you who are single. You know, single people, listen to me very well this morning. It's easy to be so infatuated in a situation that you lose all sense of rationality and you believe this must be God telling me to do this, but you don't know it's your emotion. But at times the Lord wants you to wait because the emotion you put it into the situation might actually not be the right direction God is trying to lead you. That is why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you must learn the discipline of waiting. That is how you are able to know, is this God or not? And if it's God, when you wait, it will sustain you. And when that right time comes, you will know this is God doing this. The final thing this morning I want you to write down is this. How do I know that what I've heard from God is not presumptuous? You must be willing to say, thy will be done. You know, in the darkest time of our Lord Jesus' life, when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, And he encourages, he told his disciples, Peter, John, and James, to stay with him and tarry with him while he goes to pray. And the Bible said he went a stone throw from them and he fell before his father. And the Lord Jesus began to pray. And they said the sweat on his face was like drops of blood as he pleaded with the father. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass over me. And the Lord Jesus prayed, let it pass over me. Then the Lord Jesus said, not my will but thine be done. Again, I want you to listen to that word. What he's saying is that he said, Lord, not my will but thine be done. And I think at times when we're seeking to, when we even hear from God and we don't want to act presumptuously, it is important for us to say, Lord, I surrender what I think I'm hearing. I'm surrendering it into your hands. Lord, I want your will to be done. And if this is not your will, Lord, shut this door. Lord, if ultimately this is me speaking to myself, Lord God, shut this door. Put things in my way to be an hindrance. But Lord, I want your will to be done. Lord, I'm surrendering. Lord, I think I've heard from you. I think you're leading me into this area of this job. I think you're pointing me into this area of profession. But Lord, if this is not your will, let it be off. But Lord, I want your will to be done. Those kind of prayers ultimately move God. And I truly believe God is now able to move in that situation and let you know that, listen, I've sought thy face, O Lord. I've prayed. I've sought thee. And Lord God, I'm making this decision, praying and hoping that this is the direction you want me to go. But Lord, your will is the perfect will. If this is not your will, Lord God, take this way from me. God honors those kind of prayers. And this morning, loved ones, I charge you that for you to hear from God, you must go to the eternal source of truth, the Word of God. Not only go to that eternal source of truth, you must be able to look around you and learn from whatever circumstance around. But also, you must be able to seek counsel. And when you've done all those things, put the last three things into implementation. And God will ultimately lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. May God give each one of us a hearing here that we will hear this morning. Thus says the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we do honor and thank thee for the mercy that thou hast given us here to come together to study thy word. Father, may thou now bless, I pray, the declaration of thy word. Bless, O God, thy people this morning. May they hear indeed and say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.